Proverbs. All right. Find in your Bibles tonight, if you would, the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter number 3 will be our text. And as we are continuing the series on wisdom, the series that we took from chapter 4 of the book of Proverbs. And I'll read those verses again while you're making your way there. Solomon is writing. He says, "Hear ye children the instruction of a father and intend to know understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law." By the way, just let me stop and say this. We've been preaching a lot on the family, and we've been preaching a lot on parents and children, and children receiving their parents. Parents, don't be afraid to teach your children doctrine. Don't be afraid of the word doctrine. Don't cower from the word doctrine in your home. Every mom and dad should be learning good Bible doctrine. Doctrine is profitable. It's practical. It's needful. And so Solomon, as a dad, was teaching his son doctrine. Not teaching him just the practical part. Practicality has to have a foundation to exist. And the foundation to our practicality is doctrine in the Word of God. So don't shy away from doctrine. He said, "For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live." So Solomon is teaching his kid the godly direction that was taught to him by his dad. And so you have one generation that has taught a generation teaching the next generation. Verse 5, "Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her," wisdom personified here as a woman. And throughout the book of Proverbs, wisdom is compared as a lady to the woman of folly. And so he says, "Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee." Wisdom is the principal thing. "Therefore, get wisdom. With all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, she'll promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee." So we have been spending some time looking at the topic and the thought of wisdom. We began with the need for wisdom in our churches today, the need for God's people to have wisdom. We talked about the two kinds of wisdom mentioned in the book of James. You have wisdom that is from the earth. You have wisdom that is from above. You have earthly wisdom that has at its origin a demonic origin. It's exposed through the senses. It's sensual. It's devilish. We understand that the goal or the finality or the end of the road of earthly wisdom is confusion and every evil work. James compared that with wisdom that was from above, that comes from the Lord Jesus, for in Him is the treasure and hid all the wisdom of God. The book of Colossians teaches us, exposed not in our senses, but through faith. The reward of that is peaceable, it's gentle, it's easily entreated, and great blessings to that. We said the reason that God's people need wisdom is the same reason that Paul recognized when he wrote to the church of Colossae, and he said, because there was the opportunity to be beguiled. And I believe that as you look at, quote unquote, the church around our nation today, our churches are being beguiled. God's people are easily beguiled and deceived. And we're running into trouble there. And so Paul said, I don't want you to be beguiled. And he talked about that in Colossians chapter 3. Part of the process of them being beguiled was that they were gullible to that show of wisdom or that shadow of wisdom. And he said, you were listening to things that had a show of wisdom, but they didn't have true wisdom, and true wisdom coming from the Lord. And so God's people need God's wisdom. And the evidence, whether or not you reckon that you need wisdom, I believe, it can be linked to how often we ask for wisdom. James said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. So I don't ask for anything I don't think I need. So you can really correlate in your life, Pastor, am I somebody that honestly desires and lives and loves the wisdom of God? Do I want that in my life? I think you can compare that with how often you ask for it. And so James said, if we ask for it, God will give it to us. We talked about what wisdom really is. And we said it was that knowledge and fear of the Lord that resulted in a love for truth and righteousness and a hatred of evil. We looked at why wisdom is crying in chapter number 2. And Solomon is chapter number 1, verse number 20. And Solomon is pointing out that wisdom is crying in the streets. And she's presenting the truth and presenting the call for repentance in verse number 23. And the turning. And we know that there's the rejection of wisdom there. And wisdom begins to make statements about the consequences of being rejected. In verse number 29. They did not choose the fear of the Lord. And so they were suffering those consequences. And then last week we went to Proverbs chapter 2 and we looked at verse number 1. Solomon says, Now my son, if you will choose. And we talked about the choice for wisdom. And he said, if thou will hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, and apply thine heart to understanding, if thou criest after knowledge, and lifteth up thy voice. And he goes on to talk about the desire to choose and want wisdom, and then the protection that wisdom would be for them. And so those are the messages that catch us up to this evening. And if you come to chapter number 3, I'll give you our text verse for this chapter. And the title of the message tonight is The Blessing of Wisdom. The Blessing of Wisdom. Look, if you would, in verse number 13 of chapter 3. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. We understand that word happy to be the word blessed. Blessedness is that man that findeth wisdom. And so I want to talk to you tonight about the blessing of wisdom. I'll never finish this message tonight. I know I'll have to come back and get it next week. Let me set the stage for you. In Proverbs chapter 3, Solomon again is deeply concerned about his son. And he's concerned about, if you look at verse number 6, the last word of verse number 6 is the word paths. And a great Bible study is to take a highlighter or a pen, and every time you find the word path in the book of Proverbs, that is important. It's a book about two paths. It's a book about the right path and the way of wisdom. It's a book about a path that is the direction of our lives. And so Solomon is concerned with the direction of the life, a choice of his son. And so he's concerned about his path. In verse number 7, Solomon understands that there's really two choices to this path. He says, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. Now, if you go to Proverbs chapter 9, verse number 10, and you know this, you can just flip over there a second. The Bible says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You come back to chapter number 1 and you go to verse number 7, and the Bible says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom. When you come to chapter 3 and you come to verse number 7, there's two paths in front of this boy. There's the path of wisdom in his own eyes, and there's the path of wisdom of God, or the fear of the Lord. And so Solomon is desperately concerned about which path his boy is going to go down. And so he is instructing him and caring for him and helping him and teaching him the right direction. And so he's concerned that he not operate in the wisdom of his own eyes, which I would consider to be an earthly wisdom. Solomon called it in Ecclesiastes, wisdom that would be under the sun, in your own eyes, would be without the thought of God, without the word of God, without the direction of God, his own understanding. You'll see that word in just a moment. or versus the wisdom that would come from the Lord. And so in chapter 3, he begins by imploring to his son a promise. And he's trying to get him to make this choice. And ultimately, he's driving to the fact of, son, if you want to be blessed, you need to have and find God's wisdom. And by the way, I would tell you this, church. If you want to be blessed, you need to have and find God's wisdom in your life. And so he's wanting his boy to get to that point. He's concerned about his two paths. So he begins with a promise. And the promise here, if you look in verse number 6, it says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, that him is the Lord, and he shall direct thy paths. Look at verse number 8. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. So he's telling his boy that there's, in concern about that path, that there is a path that God will direct you, that will minister and bless you and be health to you and be a joy to you. And there is a path that has God's wisdom, and happy and blessed is the man that finds that path. And so he's concerned for him, and he gives him that promise. And by the way, you need to teach your young people that there is blessing in the paths of God, and that there is health and that God will direct that path. And God does have a plan for their life. It begins with salvation. He has a plan for your life that begins with salvation. And he will direct them, and he will respond to that. And so now Solomon understands that if I want my boy to trust the path that God leads, and I want him to find wisdom, and I know he's going to wrestle with that wisdom in his own mind, then there's a part of the boy that's got to be right. Pick up, if you would, in verse number 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine, say that word, class, heart, keep my commandments. All right? Now, we know these commandments that Solomon has given to him is the word of God. We understand that. But in verse number 1, Solomon takes the boy's mind and the boy's heart, and he links them together. And he understands that he needs both. The boy needs his mind. He needs that intellect to hear and receive, but he also needs his heart. And he knows that he cannot just trust the thoughts of the young man. You see, thoughts can be pushed away. Thoughts can come, but they cannot be remembered. You ever told yourself, oh man, I'm going to remember not to do that again. And it's not long you find that you did what? You did it again. So Solomon says, son, I cannot just trust your mind. It's that heart that has to be right. And he goes on and he says, I'm going to give you commandments. Now, these commandments, boy, are important. Look at verse 2. Length of days, long life, peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them upon thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine, say it, heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine, say it, heart. So three times now we've had the word heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding. See, Solomon knew that his boy's own understanding was going to be dangerous to him. He linked that own understanding to that wisdom in his own eyes. And he knew that his mind would be in his problem. And he couldn't just have this intellectual approach about the will of God and the path of wisdom. It had to be in his heart. We've been over this. Man doesn't believe with his mind. He believes in his heart. It is the heart that affects our behavior. It is as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And so Solomon says, Now my boy's heart has got to be right, and in order to do that, he can't trust his own understanding. Now I want to talk about understanding, because we've been coming into these three words: knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. I want you to write this down, what I'm about to tell you, because this will help you. Knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. Solomon is giving his boy knowledge with the goal that his son would have wisdom. But he understood that he could give all the knowledge he wanted, and that knowledge will link to wisdom, but understanding is vital in a man's life. And it's vital in your life. Matter of fact, when you come to chapter number four, he said, get wisdom, but also get understanding. And he said in verse number seven, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. So Solomon is after the understanding of his boy. Look, if you would, in chapter number two, and look at you, if you would, in verse number six. Chapter 2, verse number 6. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh, say that word, knowledge and what? Understanding. Okay, so I've been asked this couple questions. Pastor, what's the difference between knowledge, understanding, and wisdom? They're used all the time. Let me give you an illustration. I think that will help you with this. Son, I'm cooking on this stove right now, but I've got to go change the laundry. Do not touch this stove. It is hot. Knowledge. Parent goes to check the laundry. The son says, touches the stove. The stove is what? Understanding. Wisdom. The next day. Son, I'm cooking on the stove. I've got to go change the laundry. Don't touch the stove. It's hot. Wisdom. Stay with me and think, because this is going to help you immensely. Knowledge. The stove is hot. Don't touch it. You now possess knowledge. Touches it. He now has understanding. Wisdom is, I don't want to touch it. I don't want to get burned. In our lives, God gives us knowledge. It comes out of his mouth, or knowledge out of his mouth could be called the word of God. So in your life, God gives you knowledge. Why give knowledge? You give knowledge so you have wisdom. But the bridge between knowledge and wisdom is understanding. Understanding appropriates knowledge so it becomes wisdom. If you don't have proper understanding, then you're never going to have proper wisdom. And if you're foolish in your understanding, then that knowledge can absolutely hurt you, and you'll never have the point of wisdom. Pastor, you're losing me. Hang with me right here. God's word gives us knowledge. So God tells us, hey, don't touch this. The stove is hot. Now, God gives us his word not to destroy us, but to bless us. Amen? So now, God gives me that knowledge, because God wants me to live in the blessing of wisdom to protect me. I have the responsibility to have understanding. And understanding either yields to that knowledge and appropriates it so that I end up in the blessing of wisdom, or understanding can exalt itself over the knowledge. And sometimes, yes, God, I know the stove is hot, but I don't think it's real hot. And it's been my experience that if I do it real fast, I won't get burned. So sometimes understanding will exalt itself over knowledge. Now, let me tell you something. There's nothing that should be exalted over the word of God. But I have understanding. Where does our understanding come from on a human level? It comes from our senses. It comes from our sinful nature. It comes from that part of man, that thought process that we have under that domination of sin. And so if you're not careful, you will lean on that understanding, and we will devalue the knowledge, and we will exalt understanding. And let me tell you something. If you devalue the knowledge and you exalt your own understanding, that's not wisdom. So understanding is being able to take knowledge and immediately appropriate it to a wise position. Now, sometimes we go like this. Well, Pastor, I got to learn by experience. Experience. Problem is, you still get burned. And I guarantee you, there's people out here. God gave you knowledge. Don't touch the stove. You exalted your understanding over God's knowledge, and you touched the stove, and your life has been burned, and your home has been scarred. You know, there are levels of degrees of burn. I'll never forget, praise God, in His wonderful sovereignty, we were riding in the car one day, and I was in the back seat, and my brother was in the front seat. And we were driving down the road, Uncle Steve, and there, somebody had dropped a muffler with an exhaust pipe. And my dad didn't think another thing. He had to swerve to miss it. He pulled over. He looked at Aaron again in God's sovereignty. It was Aaron. And he said, get up and go drag that thing off the road. My brother got out, never thought another thing, laid both his hands on that thing that had just dropped. And it burnt him so bad. It was unbelievable. They called it second degree burn, but I couldn't believe what it did. And sometimes, yeah, you may touch the stove and you may be able to pull back, but you're still burned. And we still suffer difficulty. Listen, experience is not the best teacher. God's word is the greatest teacher. And so Solomon's got his boy here, and he says, Now, son, you've got wisdom in your own understanding, but you can't trust that. And your understanding needs to be able to appropriate knowledge so that it becomes wisdom. And you and I, we don't need to feel to make sure that God's word is true. It is true. So we don't have to experience and test for ourselves. If it's in God's word, then we should believe God's word. And when a man gets understanding, that understanding is, if knowledge comes out of the mouth of God, it is wisdom. And I'll just rest in that wisdom. And God's people said, now, look, if you would, at verse chapter number 1, or chapter 2, and look at verse number 2. Here's where Solomon's going on this thing. So that, son, thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine, say those three words, heart to understanding. So when you come back to Proverbs chapter 3, and he says in verse number 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. He's telling them, don't let your intellect and your own understanding and your own senses trump the word of God, boy. Understand and apply. Take your heart and apply it to understanding. With the heart, man believeth. In the heart resides the ability to trust God. And so knowledge is knowing that it's hot. Understanding is appropriating that, and I don't have to test it. I just believe it. That puts me in a position of wisdom. And so Solomon is trying to protect his boy here, and he's giving him great direction. Verse number 7, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. The promise is it'll be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bone. Right? So now he's after the guys, he's after his mind, he's after his heart, really. He's after his understanding to regard knowledge so it becomes wisdom. That area of the heart where there's that faith and that trust in God 100%. And by the way, all of you know and face and have the knowledge of God. We have the word of God. And proper Bible understanding is not exalting my understanding over the knowledge of God. It's yielding my understanding to the knowledge of God that enables me to be in a position of wisdom. And so then he comes over here And now he's after the boy. And in verses 9 to 12, after he's made this promise, now he's going to give some preventativeness to his son. And the whole time he's teaching his son that he can trust the Lord. And in verses 9, 10, and 11, and 12, he's got to teach his boy that the Lord loves him. And he's going to teach his boy to honor the Lord. And so he's going to deal with two subjects that every boy is interested in: money and love. And all of us men, when we were used to be boys, we were interested in money and love. And so he's going after his son. Now, verse number 9. Honor thou the Lord with the substance which and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. He said, now, son, honor the Lord with your money and tithe and do these things and honor the Lord. And he goes on. Why? Because the Lord loves you, in verse number 11. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither the weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Now, can you understand? This father is concerned about his boy. And he knows that that boy's got two paths. And he knows that there is a pool for that path. And he is working on that boy's heart to have understanding, that he trusts the Lord, that he would acknowledge God, and that God would direct his path. And he knows that that enemy is coming around. And if the enemy wants to get at somebody, especially a young man, he's going to come with a lot of money, and he's going to come with a lot of lust. And as you read in Proverbs chapter 5 and Proverbs chapter 7, he's warning his boy about that woman coming. And so he's lifting and elevating the Lord. Now honor the Lord. Yield to him. Give him of the first fruits of thy increase. Man, the Lord loves you. He chastens you as a father would chasten a son. Don't despise him. By the way, people despise the Lord over a lot of things, but probably no greater thing do people despise the Lord over than money and chastisement. I've seen a lot of good Christian people just be destroyed because they despised the Lord because they felt like they were mistreated in their money, or they were despised the Lord out of chastening. And chastening of the Lord is because he loves us. Amen? And so we don't want to do that. So here is. Now, he comes to verse number 13. He says, now, son, happy is the man, blessed is the man that findeth wisdom, the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. It's invaluable. She is more precious than rubies. And all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Son, wisdom, she will blow your mind. Verse 16, length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand, riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths, here's that word paths again, are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. And so Solomon is going after this understanding of his son, of the blessing of wisdom, how valuable she is, what she can provide in the length of days, and the riches and the honor, true riches and true honor, the pleasantness, the paths of peace that she has. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her. And he says, by the way, wisdom is important for you, but wisdom was also used by God. Look at verse 19. The Lord by, say it, wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. He says, now son, God used wisdom. And the wisdom that God used is available to you. And if God used wisdom to do all of this, you can trust God to use wisdom to do great things in your life. It goes on in verses 21 to 26 and talks about the protection of wisdom. Son, don't let them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. Boy, don't take your eyes off of the Lord. Don't take your eyes off of that wisdom. Be careful what you put your eyes on, son. He says, if you do that, verse 22, shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then, verse 23, shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Let me tell you something. There's no sweeter sleep than when you sleep knowing you have yielded to the wisdom of God. Even if it doesn't make sense to you. You know, you do need to regard sleepless nights. Pastor, I ate late. Or I have a hard time sleeping. Personally, when I have a hard time sleeping, I ask the Lord, Lord, what's wrong? What's wrong? Why can't I sleep? Why am I awake? Lord, did I do something wrong? Would you reveal to me what I did wrong? Lord, what do you want me to do? Who do you want me to pray for? You better give some spiritual significance to not being able to sleep at night. It's not because of your wife's cooking. You better think about that. Solomon's talking to his boy and he says, now, son, listen, if you want to go to bed and sleep with sweet peace, it is available in the wisdom of God. And he goes on and he says, when thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. You know, most people that live in fear because they won't trust the Lord about something. You know, even if it doesn't make sense to your brain, when you submit your heart and your will and your decision to faith, there is a calmness that comes over you. There is an ability to close your eyes. Don't you enjoy going to sleep just knowing that God will take care of you? And to be able to honestly yield that. And Solomon's teaching his boy about that. Verse 25, he says, be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence. I'll tell you, wisdom brings wonderful confidence. And shall keep thy foot from being taken. That word taken carries with the idea of being snared or being caught up. All right, I'm going to quit now because it's time to quit. But here's what he's doing. He's trying to teach his son that there is a blessing to wisdom. And that there is a fruit and a joy and a reward. By the way, every parent should be constantly teaching your children that there is a reward to obeying the Lord. And it's not wrong to make that reward knowable. It's not wrong to lift up that reward. It's not wrong to tell them about that. And Solomon's trying to teach his boy. And he's teaching them that blessed is the man that findeth wisdom. Now, son, if you're going to get wisdom, you got to have understanding. You're going to have understanding. It's got to be in your heart. It's got to be, that heart's got to be secured by the commandments of God. It's got to be that which, that understanding then can take the knowledge and appropriate it for wisdom. And now I know the devil's going to come at you. He'll probably come at you from money. He's going to come at you from authority. But man, you can honor the Lord and trust Him with your money, and you can see His love in that discipline. I'm telling you, happy or blessed is the man that findeth wisdom. Aren't you glad that wisdom is findable? Is findable a word? I just made it a word. Findable. I'm glad we can know and receive and have the wisdom of God. Let me ask you a couple of questions. Where's your understanding? Where is your understanding? What part of you are you appropriating understanding with? God gives you knowledge. Understanding either exalts itself over the knowledge or it humbles itself to the knowledge. If it exalts itself over the knowledge, there's no way you'll ever get wisdom from your own understanding. God gives wisdom. So to exalt my understanding above the knowledge of God will never bring the wisdom of God. So that understanding, then I've got to apply my heart to understanding. My heart is that part that is the Word of God it comes in. It's that part that Thy Word have I hid in mine heart. That part that's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And as my heart is filled with the Word of God, faith begins to grow. And so then when God gives me knowledge through His Word, my understanding is not to exalt, but to humble, because I know that His knowledge will always bring me to a position of wisdom. And there is blessing in the position of wisdom. And God's people said, amen. I hope you know the blessing of wisdom. I challenge you in that understanding. I challenge you with the knowledge of God. What God is speaking to you. Have you exalted yourself or humbled yourself that He'll be able to use you? Shall we pray?